Hi folks, this is Bart from BartB.ie, and this is the 12th part of my Introduction to the Terminal series for the Typical Mac User podcast. This is the third installment of our little sort of mini-series on networking, and so far I have to say it's been very theoretical, and I'm afraid that's going to continue today. So if you go back two episodes, we talked about the general structure of how the internet hangs together. It's the four-layer TCP/IP model. Then last time we looked at the lowest level layer, which is layer one, which deals with getting information from one computer to another computer physically connected to it in some way. And we just looked at the ARP protocol, really, and we talked about why open Wi-Fi is dangerous because of how bad ARP is and so forth. And today we're going up one step in the hierarchy to layer two. And in layer two, the internet protocol, or IP, is king. And layer two is all about getting information not from one computer to another computer physically connected to it, but getting information from one computer to another computer anywhere else on the internet. So you can imagine this is a much more complicated beast. Now, unfortunately, I would like to get to the commands, but really, I need to go through quite a lot of theory before I can. So I'm afraid, in Steve Gibson words, this is a beanie propeller hat episode. We really need to get some theory out of the way before we can talk about the various commands and stuff. You may have to listen to this once or twice. You may perhaps have to go read Wikipedia, because I'm not totally sure if I can explain these things very well, but I'm going to do my very best, and hopefully at the end of this session, we'll understand three very important terms that come up in networking all of the time: IP address, netmask, and router. Or default router, or default gateway, as it's sometimes called. Before I go any further, I need to put in some caveats. The internet started off with an address space called IPv4, and it's what we use in our day-to-day lives and have been doing literally for decades. IPv4 is actually running out. The internet got way bigger than anyone had ever dreamed it would, so IPv4 is running out of addresses, and in the future we're all going to have to move to IPv6, which is the future generation. But I'm not going to look at IPv6 today. I'm going to pretend it doesn't exist, because it's the future, not the present, and I don't want to complicate things. Secondly, I'm also going to go slightly back in time. I'm going to pretend that a very important invention hasn't been invented. That invention is called Network Address Translation, or NAT. And NAT basically allows you to cheat, in a way. And NAT will make perfect sense when we understand the basics, but until we understand the basics, NAT would make this episode really confusing, and I'm trying to keep it simple. So for those of you out there who are experts in networking, you hear me make statements that are patently not correct if you accept the fact that NAT has been invented. Please remember that I'm leaving NAT out of it so that we can get a good foundation, and then I can explain how NAT complements what I'm talking about today. How it adds to it and makes some of what I say a little bit untrue. But these are the basics, they're correct, and they're very important. So, with all of my disclaimers out of the way, let's dive into the meat and bones of the matter. And really, as you have probably guessed by its name, the Internet Protocol, or IP protocol, is really all about IP addresses. So, as I said, its role in life is to get information from one part of the internet to any other part of the internet. And so the first step in doing something like that is to have a unique address on every machine. And as you probably guessed, that's what IP addresses are for. If you're on the internet, you have an IP address, and that's how we address you on the internet. That's your only identifier on the internet, is your IP address. And the internet is just about getting information from one IP address to another IP address. That's all there is to it, really. So, what do IP addresses look like? They look like four numbers separated by dots. Or at least that's what they look like to you and I. To a computer, they actually look quite different, and that's a very important distinction. A computer sees them as four binary numbers, i.e. ones and zeros, in a row. It doesn't see the dots, because there's no need for them. It knows that there's so many bits, so many bits, so many bits, so many bits. That's just fine. So, as far as the computer's concerned, the IP address that we see written down as something dot something dot something dot something dot something, it just sees as a big long string of ones and zeros, and that's it. The reason we write them like we do is quite straightforward, because we humans would never remember a big long string of ones and zeros, whereas numbers work quite well in our heads. However, this has an interesting side effect. The numbers in IP addresses don't go all the way up to 9999. The numbers in IP addresses go from 0 to 255, and anything else is simply not possible. So keep an eye on this while you're watching hacking on television and stuff, and you'll almost always see IP addresses that physically couldn't exist for the simple reason that they can't possibly belong to anyone in the real world. So you'll see things like 333.497.872.734. All of these numbers are above 355, they couldn't possibly exist. It's a little funny thing to keep an eye out for. Now, simply having a unique address is not enough to allow us to actually efficiently move traffic around the internet. In order to do that, we need to be able to define groups of related addresses, and that makes concept of routing, or moving traffic with purpose from one end of the internet to the other. So routers don't remember where every single physical IP address is. In order to do that, they would have to have insane amounts of memory and do an insane amount of processing for every packet that comes into them. The internet would collapse in a heap. It's just not possible. So what routers actually do is they deal with related chunks of IP addresses. And they simply know that, you know, to put it in Englishy terms, every IP address in IBM is over this away. Every IP address with AT&T is over that away. Every IP address at Bart's Irish ISP, which is like Irish Broadband as it happens, is over this away. And it's broken into these logical chunks, and the routing deals with the chunks. Now, the chunks can be any size, which makes it a little more interesting, but they're well-defined, and they're defined by two numbers, which is something called the net address and something called the net mask. And the way you should look at these things is that we define addresses as being related if they start with the same thing. And the net mask simply says how much of it has to start with the same thing for it to count as the same network. This sounds a little strange, but imagine writing out your string of ones and zeros, and then below it writing out a one for every chunk that has to be exactly the same in every address in the network, and then a zero in every piece that's allowed to change for our related chunk of networks. Sorry, our rated chunk of IP addresses. That's what a subnet is. So it's a whole bunch of ones followed by a whole bunch of zeros. But when we write it out, it tends to be a whole bunch of 255s followed by a whole bunch of zeros. So there's common, they can be any size, but there's common ones we use. The most common one is what's called a class C, which basically says that the two addresses that belong to the same class C network must be identical up as far as the last number in decimal terms. And that corresponds to a net mask of 255.255.255.0. Second most common one is something called a class B, and that's where only the first two numbers have to be the same, and everything after that is allowed to change. So that's a subnet mask of 255.255.0.0. As I say, you can have any subnet mask within binary, as long as it's a bunch of ones followed by a bunch of zeros. So in work we have subnet masks like 255.255.254.0. It just gets messy. Not going to talk about that. Your home network is never going to have one of these bizarre net masks unless you really know what you're doing. But out of the box it's going to be class B or class C. So, your router is going to give every machine in your house a related address. They're all going to start with the same few digits, and then the last bit's going to be different, and the bit that's allowed to be different is the bit in the net mask that's zeros. So, network addresses plus net masks allow us to specify related chunks of addresses, and then all routers have to remember is where those chunks are, so when it gets a packet it says, which chunk do you belong to? You belong to that chunk, therefore you go over here. And that's how sort of the structure of, that's how the internet can learn its structure, because it doesn't deal with individual addresses, it deals with big chunks of addresses and shoots the information around based on its, you know, its big chunk. Now, a net mask or a subnet mask, as it's sometimes called, has another function in life. How does your machine know whether something is on your local network or whether something's out on the internet? And does it matter whether a machine is local or, you know, unlocal or foreign, if you will? And the answer is it does matter, and you do have to know. So the way you work it out is based on the net mask. So your computer knows its own IP address. Your computer has to be told the net mask of the network it belongs to, or it will not function properly. It's part of the configuration of your computer. So it knows its IP address, it knows its net mask. So based on that, it knows every other IP address that could possibly exist that's local. So when you say, I want to send information from my Mac to my other Mac that's in the same room, those IP addresses will both be within the same subnet. And so your machine simply looks at the address and goes, oh, that matches my network and net mask. Therefore, I just put it on the network and it'll magically arrive, because that's the whole point of a network. However, if your machine gets a packet that's for an IP address that doesn't match its network and net mask, it says, ah, this is a packet for the internet at large. But then it needs to know what to do with it. And that's where the third important configuration parameter comes in. Your default gateway, or your router, or your default router. I've seen it called all of those things. And that will be your broadband router. And basically, that is that your default router defines which machine worries about routing and worries about getting packets onto the internet. So if it's not local, it means I must give it to my router. And your default gateway, your default router, or your router, that defines which IP address on your network deals with the internet. So packet comes in, if it's local, you just put it on the network. If it isn't local, you give it to your default gateway, which then puts it on the internet and off it goes and does its magical thing. And the netmask tells your computer which way it should deal with that piece of information. So if your netmask is wrong, funny things will happen. I'm going to leave it here for today. I hope I've made sense. If I haven't made sense, please, you know, reply to the blog on typicalmacuser.com and I will try explain better, or maybe send in a question and I'll try rephrase or clarify or whatever as required. Or you can always go to Wikipedia and have a read up on these things as well, or feel free to send me an email. Victor will pass on any email that relates to this segment to me, so don't worry about that. As I say, this is complicated stuff. This is as complicated as it gets in terms of our entire networking stuff. And now that I have this basis out of the way, we can actually start looking at commands. Because commands are going to be talking about things like IP addresses, netmasks, and routers. And if you don't know what those are, then the commands won't make any sense. So we've now had our fruit and vegetables, and so now we can actually move into some actual commands the next time. So until then, happy computing.